Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Blow that trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Deliverance is on its way. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Healing's coming in the wings. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. God's people are being turned loose. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Jesus Christ is rising in the sun. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Deliverance is coming here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deliverance is coming here. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Blow the trumpet. God's salted are coming up. The salted of God are rising up. God is salting His people with a holy salt. He is salting His people with a holy salt. It is a salt that's going to give them courage. They will have no fear. They will have no doubts. They will have no worries. They will have no cares. The cares of this world will become faded. They will not be as those that were sown among the thorns and thistles that were choked out with the cares of this world. Because care is fear, worry, mental anguish, and mental torment. And God's people have no place for those things. When fear comes to me, I got to sign up. Says no vacancy. This place is filled. It's filled with the Holy Ghost. It's filled with the blood of Jesus. It's filled with the Word of God. There's no room for fear. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for all that stuff. And sickness is getting ready to run all the way out. If you love Him, say praise God. Blow that trumpet. Blow the trumpet. I hear a sound. I hear a sound in my spirit. God's holy angels are on the way. They're on the way. God's people are about to strike. Satan ain't never seen nothing like it. He thought it was something when Moses come out of the desert, out of Egypt, into that desert. He thought it was something. Then he really got scared when Joshua crossed that river. But I got news for him. He ain't seen nothing yet. The people of God coming today are going to make that look like nothing. The people of God are rising up. God's filling them with a new spirit. He's filling them with the Holy Spirit. He's filling them with an understanding of His Word. And they're going to go forth and conquer. Bless His holy name. Praise be to God. Going forth and conquer. I'll tell you what, the time of the church being stomped on is gone. It's gone. God's church is rising up. It's rising up. It's been held down. Satan's had a yoke on its neck. There's been false doctrines in the church. There's been false teachings in the church. And God's tired of it. He's raising up a people that's going to break that bondage. He's putting His anointing on them. And He's going to put His anointing on them so powerful and so strong that those that would come against it will be slammed, dunked right into the ground. They're going to go right to hell. They're not even going to pass go. And forget your $200, honey. It ain't going to be there. All you're going to get is fire. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Y'all better sit. I might preach a while. Hallelujah. I was reading something in God's Word the other day. It was talking about the salt. And how salt, I started this yesterday, I preached on the salt. And I preached on how salt gives flavor. But I didn't tell you the other half of it. Salt holds back corruption. I said salt holds back corruption. Where there is salt, there can be no corruption. The church better open its eyes. The church had better open its eyes. This world is in corruption, and it's getting worse every day. But the salt is coming. The salt is coming, and the corruption is going to be purged right out of it. And God's holy people are going to stand up, and people will say, God is with them. If you love Him, say amen. Amen. Praise be to God. There's a thing where the Bible said, where Jesus said, I am the vine. And if you don't abide in me, now watch this. If you do not abide in me, it said, you'll be cast off. If you don't bring forth fruit, you'll be cast off. And men shall gather them as branches and cast them into the fire. Now that hit me. That hit me because that's exactly what's happening today. The people of God are being laughed at, they're being mocked, they're being put down, and the laws that are being passed are taking their rights away from them, and it's going to be pretty soon where it'll be illegal to preach, and I'll tell you what, I'll preach from prison, I don't care. I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you this, God showed it to me, and I know it's the truth. If they put me in jail, God will bring an earthquake and knock the jail down. There ain't a prison or a jail in this country that can hold me. I'm a man of God. I have turned my life over to Him. And there is no compromise. None. I will no longer compromise. Hallelujah, beloved. Praise Him. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I compromised for 20 years. God forgive me. I compromised for 20 years. God called me to the ministry in 1972. I remember the day. I remember the hour. August the 8th at 7:30, 1972, God called me to the ministry. And He anointed me with power. Immediately after he called me, I began to preach. And I began to minister His word. And people were healed. And blind people could see. And deaf people could hear. The lame walked. Immediately. And the churches threw me out. And I didn't understand it. And I began to compromise. I'd walk into a church, and people with demonic spirits would start yelling out. And I didn't know any better. I just turned and said, demon, get out of them in the name of Jesus. They'd be thrown on the floor and they'd get deliverance. I didn't know any better. One day some Christian come to me, been in a ministry for 17 years, come up to me and said, oh, brother, you can't do that. Now, brother, you can't cast demons out like that. Now, see, first of all, you've got to call the blood of Jesus down on everybody in the room. You got to call the blood of Jesus down on everybody in the room. So, because, you know, that old demon come out and go in somebody else. Well, I said, my, that makes sense. My God, that makes sense. Thank you, Lord, for showing me that. And I went off. Pretty soon, I started doing that. Before, you know, now I walk in, some old demon start messing up. I say, demon, oh, wait a minute, Lord. Pour your blood down on everybody, and I'd go like this, and then I'd start coming again. And then somebody come, oh, Brother Yeshua, you can't do that. You can't do that. You got to take them in a back room. Don't do it out there with all them people. If there's an unbeliever there, they're going to get in trouble. I said, well, my, that makes sense. So then we moved it out of the church into the back room. Then one day somebody come up and said, oh, Brother Yusuf, you got to be careful, those that are with you. And pretty soon, I'd start commanding them demons to come out. They'd stand there and laugh at me. They'd just stand there and laugh at me. I had compromised right out of God's will. I was too stupid to look in the Word of God and see, now where did Jesus ever pour His blood down on anyone before He cast a demon out? Where did He ever do that? I couldn't find it. Where did He ever say, now all you scribes and Pharisees and you hypocrites out there, now you leave because I'm about to cast a demon out of this guy. And I don't want him to jump all over you. I never read that anywhere, did you? Maybe it's in Hezekiah. Wonder why he gets blamed for all that stuff. Well, bless the Lord. Anyway. I began to compromise, and I began to compromise, and God's power started coming off and backing off and backing off and backing off, and I began to think, well, maybe I had imagined all of that stuff. But then, bless God, He reminded me, Did you imagine that bad back you had? Did you imagine that bronchitis you had? Did you imagine those ulcers? Did you imagine that colitis? Did you imagine all that? Or did I not heal you? I said, yes, Lord, you healed me. And he said, then get your act together. Get your act together. So then I went around to all these different churches, and I tried to get approved of and accepted of them. And I found out that if you spend half the time trying to get people in churches to approve of you, that you could spend in Jesus Christ, man. Man, oh man, oh man, Jesus, Lord, God, hallelujah. You'd have so much power, nobody'd stand near you. Nobody could stand near you. If you spend half the time in your closet on your knees blessing God and glorifying Him and praising Jesus and asking Him to clean your heart and asking Him to take fear and get rid of it and asking Him to take the pride and get rid of it and asking Him to take this old body and make something good out of it, if you spend half the time on your knees doing that as you do trying to get people around you to like you, my God, look how powerful you could be. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is raising up a people. He's been showing this to me. He's been showing it. And I want to tell you something. He's shown me something else. In the old days, we'd have a revival. Just about every generation would have a revival. You'd had your Amy McPherson. You had your A.A. Allen. You had your William Brannan. You had your Tomlinson brothers. You had Smith Wigglesworth, and the list goes on and on and on. Men and women of God who dared to believe Him, who dared to trust Him, who dared to pick up that Word and say, this is the Word, this is truth. There ain't a lie in it. There ain't nothing in it that ain't true. It's God's holy book. It's His holy Word. It is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is Jesus. It's Jesus. People say, I wish Jesus was with me. He is. He is with me at all times. You know what? Take that book. He's still with me. He's still with me because His Word's in my heart. I had a brother come to a meeting one night. Had a brother come. In fact, he's sitting right there. I'm going to tell on him. That big old ugly guy right there. Years ago, had a big old beard on him. Stand up, Bill. Let them see how ugly you are. That's all right. You don't want me to tell you he's pretty. God don't want me to lie. I looked in the mirror. I see myself. I ain't pretty either. Pretty ugly and pretty apt to stay that way till I get to glory land. Then God's going to make me look good in everybody's sight. Amen. In the meantime, I got to put up with what I got. Hallelujah. If I looked in the mirror and saw Mr. Dashing, Handsome, Debonair, champion of the underdog and defender of justice, I'd be in all kinds of trouble because then I'd go out there and sing that song. Lord, it's hard to be humble. I got enough problems being humble without all that too. Amen. Though guys like Bill and I are blessed. Now this guy over here, he'd be great if he had a nose. The Lord loved him, gave him a little bitty nose. He has to use his cheeks to keep his glasses on. Amen. Praise God. But it works, doesn't it? You can smell with it. Amen. Hallelujah. That's all that matters, right? Why do you think he's wearing a beard? So you can't see the rest of him. Praise God. I used to wear a mustache and nobody didn't know I didn't have an upper lip. My wife over here, she says, I cut my mustache off. She goes, ooh, baby, ooh. And now I know I'm really in trouble when she start calling me Richard. I'd really be in trouble when she start calling me Richard. She tell me, grow that mustache back. You don't have a lip. I said, sure, I got a lip. It's just above the other one. It just doesn't look very big. But praise God, if it can bless the Lord, who cares? If it can say, thank you, Jesus, who cares? If it can say, bless the Lord, God Almighty, who cares what the lip looks like as long as it works? Amen. Back to my story. Bill comes in there. He'd been trying to con somebody. Now, you may not be used to stories like this, but there's a reason behind this. He used to go in. He was trying to con some guy out of his business. The guy's sitting right over there. That little one looks like his twin brother right there. That little one there. Trying to con him out of his business. Amen. That's his real brother right there. See, stand up, Ralph. That's his real brother right there. I'll tell you a story about him in a minute. We love the Lord, say praise God. This is revival time. This is time to enjoy the Lord and one another. Well, Bill's been trying to con him out of his business. You can sit down, Ralph. That's being obedient. Praise God. I wonder how long he just stood there. Give him a cheer. Hallelujah. Anyway, Bill's trying to con him out of his business. He says, well, I'll go to church. Because he looked at him. He was a sorry individual. He was one sorry individual. And he figured, well, my God, if there's hope for him, there must be hope for me. I got to find out what these people are all about. You know, and I'll go anyway. I can look good. Am I so far accurate? All right. So he comes over here. We had a church over in Granville, this old apartment complex, an old apartment house. And it was his apartment house, to be honest with you. And it was sub-slum. Sub-slum. And we had wooden table there that we built out of old rough lumber. And there wasn't one board even with another. Every board was different. And we had that old table, and it must have been about as long as from that pole to this pole right here. And everybody, maybe even longer. And we were all sitting around it, and I was up here at this end. Bill's way off down that end over there. And he had a beard back then. He had a big old long beard. He was hiding, too. And we got to talking and having coffee and fellowshipping and all. And then finally, I said, well, bless God, let's open our Bibles to Jeremiah 23 and let's start studying the Word of God. So we turned over, and he said, he raised his hand. And the Lord quickened me exactly what he was going to say. He handed me what to say back. And I said, oh, Lord, I can't say that. Ooh. But I'll do it. Praise God. I don't care. So anyway, he starts talking. Well, I've been a Christian for 15 years, and I've led Bible studies, and he's going on and on. I said, Brother Bill, do you have a question, or did you going to write us a book? Could you kind of shorten it up a little bit, give us the bottom line? And the bottom line was, he said, well, every Bible study or prayer meeting I've ever been in, the preacher always prayed beforehand and asked the Holy Spirit to come in and guide and direct. Bingo, I knew that's what God told me that. He was going to say that. So I just smiled and I said, yeah, well, let me tell you something, mister. And I stuck my finger right in his face. I said, let me tell you something, mister. When I walked in that door, the Holy Ghost walked in with me. And when I leave, he's leaving with me. And if I got to pray, man, then I better get saved. Because my Holy Ghost stays with me. He doesn't come and go. My Bible says, I will give you another comforter. I will give you another comforter. And he shall never leave you. And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you don't have to pray for him to come teach you. He's already there. Just ask him to teach you. Amen. Now that hurts some people. Some people don't like that. But that's one of those things Satan tries to get on the church and make the church believe that you got to do some kind of fancy prayer to get God to come and teach you. Well, if you got to get God to come and teach you, then you better get where God is, because God says once you're saved, he is in you. He ain't leaving you. Now, you can leave him. I was in a church one time. They were examining me. They wanted to examine me. They asked me, so, well, brother Euchler, Do you believe in once saved, always saved? Or do you believe in once saved, you can lose your salvation? I said, you mean that old Armenian Calvinist stuff? He said, yes. I said, well, let me think about it. Yeah, I believe that. And he, what? No, you don't understand the question. Do you believe in the Armenian theory or the Calvinistic theory? I said, yeah, I do. But you can't do that. I said, why not? Well, you got to choose one or the other. I said, wait a minute, let's see. My Bible says that once you're saved, no devil out of hell and no man can pluck you out of God's hand. Amen. It says that. But my Bible also says that you can get up and walk away. So what's with all the theories? Let's stick with the facts. And you know where to get the facts? In the Word of God. In the Word of God. In the Word of God. Jesus is the fact giver. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's a truth. That is a truth. No one can believe God's Word unless God puts it in his heart to believe it. And no one can come and receive the Father lest he come through Jesus. And the Father of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. I said the Father of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now all of that to get to this. Bill, sit down. All of that to get to this. All these old revivals that have been coming down the line, they were doing one thing. They were designed to renew your spirit in the Lord. Amen. Amen. And that's good. And it's needed. It's designed, they've been designed to renew your spirit and your love in the Lord. Praise God. But the Lord said, I want to show you a revival that's coming, and it's going to rock the world. It's going to rock the world. And you're going to be a part of it. And those that come to your services, I have called and ordained to be a part of it. Now, there'll be those that'll accept it. There'll be those that won't. But that's for God to sort out, not for me to sort out. But here's what it is. It's time that God's people reclaim the land and the Spirit. Not just the Spirit, but the Spirit and the land. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord God, Jesus. It's time God's people are healthy. It's time God's people are spiritually healthy, mentally healthy, and physically healthy. It's time that God's people reclaim the land spiritually that Satan has stolen from them. But it ain't good enough. It's time they reclaim the land physically that Satan has stolen from them. I was reading in Joshua. God said to Joshua, did I not command thee to be strong and of a good courage? Did I not command thee to be strong and of a good courage? He said, Joshua, you got to go in there and you got to give that land. You've got to divide that land for an inheritance that I swear to their fathers. This country, when this country was founded, our forefathers sat down in a room and they prayed. And they said, Lord God, if you would deliver this land into our hands, we will serve you and dedicate this country to you. Well, praise God. God kept his end of the bargain. But Satan has snuck in and the church has gone down and Satan's men have gone up and the wicked have overgrown God's people. And I'll tell you what, they have stolen God's land, but he's giving it back. He's giving it back. You're going forth. God has called you to go forth. To go forth in power and in victory and in faith and reclaim that land. Not going to do it with politics. Not going to do it with an army. Not going to do it by might of man or army, but by the power of the living God. Going to heal the sick. Going to raise the dead. Going to cast out devils. And anybody tries to stand in front of you, God will cast them out. The power of God is here. It's rolling in. It's coming in as a thunder. Every night I have prayed, Lord, let us have the latter rain as you promised. As you promised, Lord. 1991, I believe it was. Either 891 or 81. The Lord gave me a prophecy. And I was blind. And no, wait a minute, that was from, help me, wife. You're a helpmeet. 87, I was blind. I'd had cataract surgery. It went awry. Doctor messed up. Had laser surgery. Messed up again. My retina got infected. Was scarred over, could not see, was blind. They used to lead me into the church. Bill, you remember that. They'd lead me to the church. Couldn't read my Bible. That hurt. Couldn't read my Bible. Got me a big print Bible. Got me a big magnifying glass. None of it did any good. Couldn't read my Bible. I'd stand in the church. And I'd preach the power of God. People would come to me with blind eyes and God would heal them. People would come to me. I remember a young man one night came to the meeting. He was blind. And he said, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in God. And I don't believe in healing. I don't believe none of that stuff. And I said, I don't care. You will when you walk out of here. In the name of Jesus, be made whole, be healed. And the man received his sight. That's the power of God. Power of God to overcome unbelief. Power of God to overcome doubt. Power of God to overcome those old unbeliever sinner souls. Amen. But you know, I walked out of there still blind. And I used to go home and cry. Lord God, help me. I used to go home and cry. Because I was jealous. I was jealous because God didn't heal me. But one night, the Lord woke me up early in the morning. Said, arise. Get thee up. I have a great thing to tell you. I said, yeah, Lord, in the morning. Just let me get a few more minutes sleep. He said, all right. When the Lord speaks that way to me, I know I'm in deep trouble. I said, never mind, Lord. You're much more important than I am. Or a little bit of sleep. I can always sleep. My God, let me get down there. I got down, he had me write something. And I wrote this prophecy out. It was about the storm clouds that were coming and the latter rain that was coming. And he said, listen, it's coming. Send this out to the people and warn them. Let them know what's coming. Let them know what's happening. So I prayed. And I wrote it down, but there was one little line. One little line I did not put in as God told me to. The Lord said, go back and correct it. Go back and correct it. If you don't correct it, you've got no part in me. And I went back and corrected it. And I went back to bed, and when I woke up, I had my sight back. God had healed my eyes. After I had gotten rid of that rebellion, the Lord healed my eye. The Lord's been dealing with me right down the line. And I'm going to stand up here, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not perfect. If y'all come here to see a perfect preacher, you better go somewhere else. I am not perfect. But my God is perfect. And my God in me is perfect. And He is able to carry this imperfect old body of mine into glory. And He's going to do it. I found out a secret. I learned a little secret. I found out if I pray, Lord, change me, He'll do it. All these years, I thought He wouldn't change me because He didn't like me. I found out it was just that I didn't want to get changed. I wanted to pretend I wanted to be changed. But I didn't want to change. I wanted to stay the old self I was. I wanted to compromise. The Lord showed me a thing. Somebody give me a stick or something. Nah, that's not a stick. Give me a stick. Hallelujah. I'll just use that. No, I can't use that. I'll tell you what. Praise the Lord. This will work. Bless God. This is a stick. Lord showed me a thing. What do we got? A circle. Thank you. There's a circle. Yep. Be right there. Got a circle there. Hallelujah. Those of you all can't really see it, just pretend you see it. All right, there's a circle. Now, this is a record player. It's a record player. 78. Old 78 record player. Crank up model. Like those. Crank up model. Now, this is the kingdom of God. This is Jesus Christ in the center of it. This is the world. If you stand here, when that's going around and around, the law of centrifugal force is going to throw you off the edge. It's going to throw you off the edge. The way to stay on it is to get as close to that center as possible. Because when you get close to that center, there is a point when the center draws you in. There is a point when a centrifugal force stops dragging you away and starts pulling you in. And God showed me this in a vision one time. He said, look, here you are. You're standing out on the edge. And you're trying to hold back this way and grab the world too. And he said, that's why you continuously fall. That's why you're constantly falling. That's why you're constantly being defeated. He said, son, you've got to turn loose of the world.